Bandwidth for the Steam Podcast is provided by the Internet Archive at www.archive.org. This is the Steam Podcast, episode number one, for Saturday, September 2nd, 2006. SourceForce. This is the inaugural episode of the Steam Podcast. And here for our first episode today, we have Ramsey from the forums. He's in Australia, by the way, in case you guys didn't know. It's about noon over there right now. And we also have Will Smith from the SourceForts mod at sourceforcemod.com. How are you doing, Will?
Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So where are you at, Will? Are you on the West Coast like I am?
I'm in the Midwest of the United States. I'm in Illinois.
Cool. Very cool. So anyway, we have a couple things to talk about today. We've got some news from the Steam website, and we also have some interesting general news. And then we're going to be talking to Will a little bit about the SourceForts mod, and we'll go from there. So this is kind of interesting. This was posted on Steam, I believe, yesterday, that PopCap games are now going to be on Steam. Games like Bejeweled and Zuma and Chuzzle and all sorts of those kind of casual games are going to be available for purchase and download.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Was there any news of that beforehand, or is it just kind of a random...
I don't know.
Sort of popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that, and just all of a sudden there's all these games that are all over Yahoo on Steam. But I think it is kind of a big move for Steam, though, because I think it moves them into more of an area of kind of like a content provider rather than just, you know, a game provider.
That's very true, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead.
Like, for a very long period of time, all the games on Steam were all Source Engine-based, and I think that really kind of limited them. They really worked hard. I mean, the Red Orchestra, I believe, runs on the Unreal Engine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think that was their first major non-sourced game. So yeah, I think content writing is really where they're heading with this, which I think is going to be great. I mean,
definitely. I mean, when Steam first came out, everybody, at least a lot of my friends who played Counter-Strike and such, were really, man, they were really bashing Steam, saying it was just a steaming pile of crap, all that.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And but, you know, I was always somebody from the beginning who thought, you know, if this is bug-free and it works well, this could be really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's definitely been a major benefit to me, especially having all those games tied to my account, because it's the nicest thing when I do a reformat or something like that, and all I have to do is download a little itty-bitty client, log in, and then, boom, I can download all the games that I've purchased, you know?
Yeah.
It's fantastic for the developers, too. I mean, for not just mod developers like myself, but for retail game developers, because most of the revenue that developers get from their games is just sucked away by the publisher. And if people can publish on Steam and you know, essentially bypass the publisher, you know, they're going to be making pure profit. And that's it's a really good incentive for up-and-coming developers just to make whatever they want. It's going to be really cool.
No kidding. There was a bunch of lawsuits that delayed Half-Life 2 because of that, right? Because Steam wanted to sell it directly on their website.
Yeah, I don't know the intricacies of that, but it was the little hold up, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, someday I might see my grandma with Steam on her computer because she wants to play Bejeweled. but you know, and actually another thing that they're moving into the content realm is all the trailers and everything that's available too, and the new My Media tab and everything like that. So, also, some other news on Steam. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Team Fortress 2 is supposed to be bundled with Half-Life Episode 2.
Not only that, but I think it's also going to be bundled with Portal. Three and one.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about Portal. What's that about?
Who's going to
do we even know?
Sorry, go ahead.
Do we even know anything about it? Go ahead.
from what I gather, it looks like it's going to be a kind of a puzzle game. I read an interview with Gabe Newell where he talked about how they tested out the kind of Portal concept on several different like test players, and some of them lashed onto it immediately, thought it was the greatest thing ever, and others really were kind of thrown for a loop, didn't really know what to do. And I think that's why they kind of are presenting Portal as a puzzle game, which I think it got its origins from a little game made by some DigiPen graduates called Narbacular Drop, which I have played. That's also a free download, just to kind of get an idea of how portals work and how the whole concept really goes. And I think that's a good idea on Valve's part, because it really is pretty non-linear when you're kind of breaking the rule that, you know, object A has to be, you know, behind object B. When that's suddenly not true, I can certainly understand how players can be kind of confused by that.
Yeah.
But definitely. I think a lot of people are going to be buying Episode 2 just for Portal. It's like,
really?
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, I definitely think if they keep it the same price as Episode 1 was, I mean, three games for $20, you really can't beat that.
Yeah, that's quite a steal.
So, but the release is slated for the first part of next year sometime, which is, you know, I was thinking about it, and the first thing I thought was, wow, that's pretty far off. And then I realized, you know, actually, given how recently they released Episode 1, I mean, that's pretty soon to be releasing episodic content like that.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit longer than that, but they just sort of, you know, they're throwing them out as quickly as they possibly can. And
yeah. Well, I don't know. Have you guys seen any of the trailers for Team Fortress 2 yet?
Yeah, I think they have
two
out. Yeah, they have one or two trailers out at this point, yeah.
You know, when I first saw it, the cell shading really threw me for a loop. That the entire thing is cell shaded.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
But people are complaining about it, and people who love it. It's such a it's mixed.
Yeah, my first reaction was kind of like, "Wow, this is kind of goofy and cartoony." But after I watched the entire trailer, the more I watched it, the more I liked it. You know,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I'll have to play it to see what it's like. But it kind of reminded me of an Incredibles game.
that's exactly what it is. Yeah, I couldn't put my finger on it. That's exactly right. Yeah.
But also, I was kind of interesting. It noticed there's a little note down at the bottom of that Steam or the Team Fortress 2 post that Valve is working on developing Episode 2 for both the PS3 and Xbox 360 as well.
Really?
Yeah. It was hidden down there in the bottom of the news post, but they said that they're working on delivering that to both the PS3 and Xbox 360 as well as the PC.
Interesting. I wonder if they're going to be allowing Xbox 360 and PS3 players, you know, if there are any, to play cooperatively or against other platforms. That would be
cool. That'd be very cool. And I wonder how they're going to deliver it too, since it's episodic content. I mean, whether they'll deliver it via Xbox Live or some kind
PS2
of service like that, or
of Xbox Live if there is one. Okay.
Another interesting story here. Microsoft, and actually, Will, you probably have heard about this, or maybe not. I don't know. Microsoft released the XNA Game Studio Express beta. And basically, this is a quote from Microsoft's website. XNA Game Studio Express enables individuals and small teams to more easily create video games using new optimized cross-platform gaming libraries for Windows and the Xbox 360. This beta release targets the development of games for Windows. The final version of XNA Game Studio Express will be available this holiday season, and will enable development of games which target Windows upon purchase of an XNA Creators Club subscription, the Xbox 360 as well.
I hadn't heard much about that, no. But
it's interesting. I actually found the story on Dig, and it's basically, it integrates with Visual C# 2005 Express Edition, which Microsoft has made freely available, which is kind of nice. It's nice that they're not tying it to one of their expensive Visual Studio packages, but what I'm curious is, how cross-platform is it really?
Well, I think it's completely cross-platform as long as you want to play on Windows or Xbox. So
that's true. I mean, do you have any idea, maybe, if it's, can I write my game for Windows and then just immediately recompile it for 360 without changing anything?
I think that I'm not sure if you can achieve that kind of level of instant portability. I mean, there are definitely, I mean, if not on a technological level, but there's kind of like a gameplay level, a direct port will never work perfectly. I mean, technology aside, But I think the whole kind of point of having their development tools out for free for use and is more so that they can push their hardware. And it's definitely a business choice on their part, because definitely. If people wanted to develop free games with their tools, they have to play their free games that they've made on their hardware, on their operating system. So it makes business sense for Microsoft in the long run. And in the short run, I think it also makes sense for developers, because, I mean, if you want to develop your game, you might as well do it with the free tools. So I think it works out really well for everybody, except maybe,
exactly.
maybe Sony. But
yeah, no kidding. But this, I definitely, if it is as cross-platform as they're saying it will be, I can definitely see it as being a plus for anybody who's targeting multiple markets.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's also been talk that an additional feature, if you purchase this subscription, I guess, to be able to port your code to the 360,
okay.
you'll be able to post your game, any games that you make on Xbox Live, and actually sell them on Xbox Live.
Oh, wow. So they're going for like a content distribution thing, kind of like Steam, then.
Yeah, that's what it sounds more and more like as these rumors get confirmed and Microsoft releases more information. It really is what it sounds like, and it's okay. kind of funny, actually, that because it seems like Microsoft is specifically targeting several different people in the industry who've been doing one thing well and then trying to combine it into their total package.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Definitely. But the beta is available for download, so if anybody out there is a game developer and just interested in checking it out, in both Visual C Sharp 2005 Express Edition and the XNA Game Studio Express beta are both available for free download for Microsoft right now. Blizzard drops hints about StarCraft II. This was interesting because, personally, StarCraft was one of my favorite computer games of all time. And I guess here the chief operating officer Paul Sams told an IGN reporter at the German Games Convention that StarCraft II is in the works. Sam said that StarCraft is his favorite game of all time and that Blizzard will certainly continue both the StarCraft and Diablo series. He said he can't say anything official yet, but Blizzard will have a, quote, major product announcement in 2007 and is currently working on three unannounced titles.
Okay. All right.
Which is, you know, and one of the, not to kill anybody who's a huge World of Warcraft fan, I was never personally a World of Warcraft fan, and I've been kind of sad, actually, that it seems that Blizzard has been spending all of their time developing nothing but World of Warcraft, at least for the last year or two.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But it's definitely exciting. I've been hearing rumors about StarCraft II ever since maybe 2 years after the original game was released back in the 90s, and it's just nothing has ever materialized. But from what it sounds like, it may actually become a reality, which would be cool. It would definitely be cool. Free spectator passes to the CPL. This is very interesting. I guess I don't know if they've done this in the past, because I've never really covered CPL that much. But you can get a free spectator pass to CPL in Dallas this year just by filling out a form on the CPL website.
We're talking about actual in-person, being able to go
in person
and watch people playing the games?
Mm-hmm.
And
tickets are...
What's the limit?
You know, I don't know. It just says tickets are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So so you better hop on the website and get one now if you're planning on going. But that's interesting. I've never seen them do free spectator passes before. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but...
So is it that they used to charge for it, or did they not actually have this sort of a feature before?
Well, I think they always had a ability to go in as a spectator, but I don't know if they ever charged or not. Mm. I don't know. Maybe this isn't news at all because they do it every year. For all I know, that's the case.
Could be just a little bit of a publicity stunt, you know, to get more exposure.
Probably. So, do you guys have, before we slip into the interview with Will here about SourceForts, do either of you guys have any interesting things to talk about, or does that pretty much cover it?
No, not entirely. I was going to, you know, throw a whole bunch of Battlefield 2 news, but I decided not to.
Okay. Well, SourceForts, currently on version 1.9.2.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Very, very cool mod.
Thank you, thank you. It's really kind of, it's more new territory than I think a lot of people realize developing a game like SourceForge. Because there's really no genre quite like it. One of the problems that we had when we started developing SourceForge is the whole problem of when you allow your players to kind of build their own environments, that allowing the game to limit that in a productive way, but still kind of channel them into actually playing the game. It's a difficult balance, and it's really kind of hard for us to kind of play the balance well. And we do make releases periodically to kind of tweak this or tweak that, but we're working towards a total conversion, and we will get there eventually. So it's still a work in progress. So
are there, you're still adjusting lots of the gameplay variables as you go. I mean, nothing's really locked in stone at this point.
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. Our big kind of pie in the sky final plan is a total conversion for SourceForge. I mean, because right now we have the Rebels and the Combine from Half-Life 2. They're just the models that we brought over. And they're playing, you know, in capture the flag modes with the Half-Life 2 guns because we didn't have any others to put in yet. And so what we kind of had to do was, first we kind of had version 1.4 way back when, which was just kind of like a proof of concept, showing that if you put players in a map with blocks, they will use the blocks and they'll have fun. That was kind of all we really had to prove with that.
Right.
And
right.
And so we just kind of made a few small tweaks to that. We called it 1.9.2, or 1 rather, and then tweaked that to 1.9.2. And now at this point, we have kind of the base gameplay there. We know that players will realize that they can place obstacles in between them and the enemy, and they can do this to their advantage or to the enemy's detriment, and we know that we have kind of like a solid gameplay base. From this point, we really kind of had something real to start with, because from this point out, what we're trying to do is we're going to build, I don't want to call it like the real game, but we keep on referring to it as SourceForge version 2, which is our final conversion, where we're going to be adding new player models, we're going to be adding new guns, we're going to be adding new maps, we're going to be adding new game modes, we're going to be adding kind of different aspects that not only make SourceForge kind of its own game and not kind of like a, you know, Half-Life 2 deathmatch with stuff in the way, but kind of like its own. Yeah, I know that's kind of like the running forum joke.
Well, and that's yeah, and I noticed that actually. I posted a thread to see if anybody had any questions for you, which unfortunately kind of got buried pretty quickly in the off-topic forum.
Yeah.
But somebody in there posted something. It was what was it now? It was something like, you know, it looks dumb. It just looks like, you know, deathmatch with blocks. And I'm like, no, you need to download and play it because it is yeah, so much yeah. more than that, you know?
Yeah, that's really what I think. It's a big stumbling point, because whenever we show somebody a screenshot of a map and it's got the big pulse rifle AR-2 Half-Life 2 weapon in the corner, and they say, what's that doing there? You know, I've already seen this. I know what this is. But I think if as soon as we add new media, people who kind of aren't willing to take that step, aren't willing to, you know, hop in and try it, just give us the benefit of the doubt, will suddenly realize that yes, in fact, this is a completely different game. This is something completely new, even, and would be definitely worth a try. And I think that kind of those casual players are really kind of the key to making the mod really explode, like player count wise. And
right.
Yeah, so I mean, and beyond that, because right now the game is just capture the flag. It's just you have build time where you gather up all your blocks, you build walls, you build ramps, you build, you know, whatever you want to build. And we sat down for a long time, and we thought we had to think like, what is the purpose of building a fort? Why do these players want to build a fort? And we had to think about it like really at a very low level. I know it sounds kind of stupid that we had to do this,
Well, it's what makes a great game, you know.
Yeah,
there are so many. I see so many new game developers who are so excited to get into it, and the first thing they try to do is run out of the gate and develop the newest, coolest thing, and they're so concerned about their graphics engine and their code and their artwork, and they do all this stuff, and it's just like, whoa. You need to stop and figure out how your game's going to play before you can even build it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so...
Well, and it's nice to see a mod it's nice to see a development team that's, you know, taking that approach. And I think that approach definitely lends itself to more addicting and more fun games.
Yeah, that's kind of our hope. I mean, after we had kind of thought about this for a long time, we thought of, like, the four or five key reasons why anybody on Earth would want to build a fort. And we thought that, well, you might build a fort to protect something. You might build a fort to protect your spawn location. You might build a fort to protect your flag, to facilitate you capturing the enemy's flag. You might build a fort, or you might build blocks to ramp your way into the enemy's fort to get the enemy's flag. And we thought, you know, well, that's all well and good, and it works. It plays well. But the forts are still somewhat superfluous. And what we really want is the players to build the fort for the fort's sake itself. They build the fort, and the fort itself be the thing that they're trying to protect, that they're trying to defend. And we see that in every game, where somebody will build up a wall, and they'll get it all perfect, and somebody will come up and try and fix it, and the first person will say, "What are you doing? You know, I just built this beautiful creation, and you know, what do you mean it's not perfect?" And
That was definitely one of the things that was irritating me at times during SourceForts, is I would build this really cool ramp, you know, with a little box and everything to snipe from, and then some guy would walk right up and take one of my ramps away so that I couldn't get up to it anymore.
Yeah,
it was like, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, communication is absolutely key. I mean, the team that works together will always win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If your team works together and talk to each other well, you know, they're unstoppable.
And for the most part, you know, I've noticed that most people usually don't even have to chat or even use the voice. Most people can figure out what you're doing, and then you'll see people, you know, if I'm trying to build a wall or something up on top of a roof, you know, I'll maybe fire a few plates up there with the gravity gun, and then other people will figure out what I'm doing, and they'll start helping me by passing bricks over. And it's really interesting how well the communication and the concept works.
Just
the visual cues.
How do you plan to sort of accommodate, you know, public play where, you know, teamwork and all that, you know, they pretty much go out the window? How are you going to sort of accommodate that kind of play? Do you have any plans in the future?
Well, at some point we hope to add various different kind of HUD graphics, different radio messages, things that players can use to kind of coordinate themselves better based on a pre-existing plan. Like, I could just say, pass me like a 2x3 block, and I can have like an automated message that I can bind to, kind of like Counter-Strike radio messages, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, though, I think what SourceForts is kind of lacking at the moment is a tutorial map. And new players will hop in the game, and they won't know what to do. They'll see people building these incredibly intricate forts, and they'll instantly think that they can do the exact same. And it's really not intuitive, which is another thing that we're going to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the addition of a tutorial map where players can, in single player, be guided through a series of, this is how you might want to build a wall if you so desire. This is how you can use a ramp to get over a wall. This is how you can build an entrance, and so on and so forth. Or even provide them with different kinds of challenges. Like, for instance, there's lava rising up from the floor. You have to build a ramp out of here in 10 seconds. And, you know, and it'll teach them to kind of understand the concepts of, well, you know, I could actually scale that cliff if I had three blocks, and kind of think laterally. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself, I think, is what makes SourceForts different. Because what was I playing? I was playing Counter-Strike the other day, and I'm running through these halls on dust, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to come around behind these guys, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm dead from the side. And I never even saw it coming. And my first thought wasn't, oh, you know, why didn't I see him? My first thought was, geez, you know, we could have just walled that off and sealed that area. And but there wouldn't be a problem. You know, next build time, we need to get some 2x3s. We'll just fix that. And, oh, wrong game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
well, you know what? that's actually one of the very cool things about having the second build phase after the combat phase is, you know, you can build this great intricate fort, and then all of a sudden, you know, in the middle of the first combat phase, you realize that the enemy has figured out a really easy way. There's some critical flaw in your design. Yeah. And actually, it's really interesting because it's so open-ended. I have seen some of the coolest designs for how to get around people's forts.
Oh, yeah. There's some really ridiculous things that people come up with. I mean, stuff that we never even, could even begin to.
One of the things that I never even thought of, but it ends up being really cool, is in the sky map. I've seen people take plates and actually build a path down underneath the entire level and then all the way back up on the other side.
Which I've only seen that happen once, but it is hilarious when it happens because the other team...
Yeah, because they never realize it for about a few minutes, but as soon as they figure it out, they...
All of a sudden, these enemies come pouring up out of the center of their... Yeah, it's really, really fun to see that happen. And I mean, even if you're on the team that's being, you know, having happened too, I think it's...
Oh, it's still
fun. It's still fun because you think, my goodness, they're thinking creatively. And, you know, it's an honor to be beaten by that kind of outward thinking.
That's definitely.
Yeah, but like for...
No, go ahead.
I was just going to talk for a sec about upcoming features that we're planning on adding.
Oh, definitely.
Right now the game is class-based. You know, you have to pick a certain class. We're going to be...
And for some of the people who haven't played the game, what are some of the classes that are available?
We kind of have a stereotypical spread of different kind of team classes. We have a... right now we have a scout, which is a fast running little guy with a submachine gun. We have a rocketeer, which is like a guy with an RPG. A soldier, which carries a heavy machine gun. A sniper with a sniper bolt rifle. And of course everyone's favorite class, the engineer, who carries the shotgun and the gravity gun, which can be used to unweld blocks and refreeze blocks in the combat phase, which is where all the creativity kind of stems from. And we're going to be maintaining those classes in the future version to a certain extent. We're going to be having a few more classes. We're kind of breaking up the different abilities of those classes. Instead of having the scout and the soldier, we're going to be having kind of a range of different kinds of gunners, which will range from the fast-moving light gunner or scout to the heavy-moving heavy gunner or soldier, with various gradations in between.
So you're talking about combinations?
Yeah. Where we're going to have, I think our final plan is to have 7 classes instead of the original 5. It should work out well. Our big changes, though, are going to be mostly media-related. I think that everyone's going to really like the new... player models. You're going to have a brand new player model for each class, so you can definitely tell when a scout is a scout and an engineer.
Now, do you have any plans to color code the teams in a sense so it's very easy to see?
Yes, absolutely. Each team is going to have very clear and distinct color coded team skin. So we're talking about
black versus white, red versus blue, just
red versus blue.
Simple
for
you know, people who just came into the game to understand.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Also, we're probably going to be slightly tinting the HUD, because sometimes it's easy to forget what team you are on, so those kind of visual cues are nice.
I have had that happen before. I will be the first to admit. I have forgotten which team I was on.
Yeah, it's funny how we kind of figured out that was a real problem. There's one Source Wars map which has these buttons in the center, and if you press these buttons while you're fighting, it'll change the color of that part of area of the map, and during the next build time, your team can actually use that area to extend their fort forward.
Which map is that?
I believe that's SF Tactical.
It's one of the ones I haven't played yet. Yeah.
And what we found was, because on these little switches there was a blue button and there was a red button, and if you were on the blue team, you want to press the blue button, and if you're on the red team, you want to press the red button. Unfortunately, if you're on the blue team and you press the red button, you're helping the red team.
And so we'd
have people run up to the buttons and say, "Oh my gosh, what team am I on? I completely forgot. Which button do I press?" And of course, they're being shot at, and it was kind of a fiasco. So we're gonna have to try and figure out that little bug there. Beyond class changes, though, and of course, we're adding a kind of similar but customized weapon set. The Half-Life 2 weapons do work. Hello? Did I lose connection?
No, I'm here.
I'm sorry. sorry, I heard a weird click. Anyway, because the standard Half-Life 2 weapons are not really well suited to. I mean, they do work, but they're not perfect for Source Wars. We're constantly changing balancing issues. In fact, in 1.9.2, the weapons are kind of so radically changed from Half-Life 2 to Deathmatch that they're. While they look the same, they really aren't. They're very, very different. For instance, our...
So you've done a lot of customization exactly. of the different...
Yeah,
values.
Our assault rifle fires far less powerfully than the Half-Life 2 Deathmatch 1. Our RPG rocket pit doesn't home. Our pistol's much more powerful.
I noticed that.
Yeah, we don't have the...
That was actually one of the first things that kind of caught me off guard, and I think it was because it was... The mod was using the original Half-Life 2 models.
Yeah.
As soon as I got the rocket grenade, I was like, oh, cool. And I was trying to track it, and it would never follow it, and I couldn't figure out why that wasn't working. And then I finally figured out that the rocket does not...
Yeah. It is a dumb fire missile now, so...
Yes.
You can't do that. But, and then what our next kind of idea was to alter the game modes. Because right now, all we have is capture the flag. And like I was saying before... Mm-hmm. What we really want to do is to make it so the players build the forts, and the forts themselves are the objectives. The forts themselves are what they're trying to build and defend. And from that, we kind of devised, well, the obvious solution is to get rid of the flags for a certain game mode. Of course, we're going to keep the capture the flag game mode as our kind of original mode. But the thing to do would be to have kind of like a mode which has multiple different capturable areas. Because of the success we had with SF Tactical, which was the map with the changing buttons. And so what we're kind of looking at now, kind of experimenting with, is the ability to actually capture a site where you can build a fort on that site with like a kind of like a localized build time, where there's still fighting going on around it, but you can build your fort there, and then when the kind of the local build time collapses, you don't have to not only defend it, not the flag, but that actual area, in and of itself. So, and with having multiple kind of sites like this on a map, we end up having a very kind of non-linear, kind of like an occupation style, like, you know,
almost a little bit like DOD in a sense.
Or Battlefield, yeah, exactly.
Not Battlefield, DOD.
Yeah, DOD, yeah, where you have multiple people kind of assaulting a fort and they have to get in, and then they either press a switch or they trigger a trigger by them being there, and then all of a sudden that entirely red fort will turn over to blue, and the blue team goes the red team goes oh no, and and they have to take that fort back. And it's I think that will put a lot of emphasis on the actual forts themselves, which we really kind of were bypassing with the original capture the flag mode. So in future, while there will be the capture the flag maps, the whole kind of capture the fort is what we're really kind of leaning towards now, which I think is going to work out really well.
Well, I think that gameplay mode will work out really well, especially because when you end up with small focused fights and stuff like that, it tends to lend itself to personal vendettas very well. I remember specifically there was one guy when I was playing in this server who constantly, literally about every 2 minutes, would just make mincemeat of me with a rocket. And after he'd done this 3 or 4 times, I set out on a mission. I said, screw the flag. I'm going to freaking nail this guy as many times as I can. And I think a small localized, gameplay like that, where you may end up with the same players in very small locations fighting over a small target, would definitely lend itself to that kind of fun kind of revenge type of gameplay.
Yeah. That's another thing that we found was when we have these huge arena maps with these ridiculously high block limits, like we'd set block limits to 150 blocks per team, and we'd have these walls which are 8 or 9 blocks thick, and these teams would just sit in their forts and they'd pound away at each other for hours on end, and absolutely nothing would happen. And it wasn't really very fun. And because of the sheer scale of these forts and the kind of the open areas, And that's why we instituted what are going to be called league limits, because we're starting a Source Wars league, which limits the number of blocks and it limits the amount of time. Because while it's tons of fun to actually build the forts and things, if you let players build for too long, or if you let them build with too many blocks, all of a sudden you end up with what we call uber forts, which are impenetrable fortresses, which really nobody finds very fun. So I think, that's separating these kind of mini fights into little skirmishes over different, fort capturable areas, strewn across a map, I think is going to not only break the game down into these little kind of very much more fun playable mini forts, just for this particular mode, of course, but it will really kind of discourage the, turtle yourself in and stay there kind of mentality, and really kind of add a whole new dimension to the gameplay. I think it's going to be really good.
So, definitely. Just about the all the new game modes, weapons, skins, all that sort of stuff that you're talking about. When can the players of this mod expect to see some maybe new media or some new things being released?
Well, we're working as hard as we can. We all have our different obligations.
Regular day jobs.
Although I would love to do Sword Sports for a living, let me tell you. But
I'm sure you would.
We'd love
to pay you to do it.
But we're looking at right now. Of course, I can't make any guarantees on the part of the team. We really haven't made any explicit deadlines. But I can assure you that we do have a large sum of media done for the upcoming version, and we hope to release, if not very early 2007, we'll do some media releases before that point, though.
So it's still relatively soon,
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, a long time.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be one of those mods that sort of dissolves into the internet, you don't get the new content,
definitely
nothing
not.
Like that.
Yeah, great. But
that's good to hear.
Yeah, so, we're definitely getting things done, and what we kind of really wanted to do was kind of release it all as a big lump sum, because kind of this weird kind of aspect of development is, as soon as you show somebody something, you're like, oh, phew, I'm done, don't have to work on it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so what we're kind of doing is kind of gathering everything up together in a big kind of SourceForge-shaped pile, and we're going to, mold it into what we really want version 2 to be. Then we're going to start the beta testing, and then as soon as we kind of have a solid release, then we're going to release SourceForge 2 with, fireworks.
Is that
going to
be
grand surprise? It's like a whole... total conversion, all is one. And I think that would really be kind of the best way to do it.
Definitely.
So,
is it going to be a closed beta or an open public beta?
Right now we have.
Do you even know?
Right now we have a closed beta development team in the works. We have a few select members from our forums which are doing all our kind of core beta testing. And I think that we're probably not going to have an open beta at this point. I mean, of course that could change, but as far as the outlook goes, I think that SourceForge betas are going to be closed from here on out.
Well, and there's definitely something to be said for having closed betas, because especially when it comes to a mod or something where a gamer makes up their decision very quickly on whether or not they like the game,
it takes
is one bad experience playing a beta to leave a sour taste in their mouth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, we have kind of problems where people will... take our original code from 1.4, and they'll make their own kind of Source Forts like games, and they'll use their
making an allusion to Neo Forts.
Is that what's that's one of them. I think the 1.4 source code. I don't really remember, but so I think that everyone's really trying to get in on the kind of the user configurable fort kind of genre. And I think that, I'm all for it. They should, this is a new and upcoming genre where you can alter your environment and so on and so forth. But it would be kind of cool if they kind of made their own game and didn't take our media
and
so
didn't
on.
Didn't use all the code base.
Well, what can you do? I mean, just today I was on the Gary's Mod forums, and somebody's taken all the SourceForge media blocks and imported them into Gary's Mod for people to build forts with. I mean, it's nice that they're kind of taking notice of us, but I wish that they would kind of take notice by playing in the mod rather than taking all our media and making new games with it. But, what can you do? And, I mean, it's publicity either way, and we're happy to have it. So
copying is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we look at it.
Yeah.
How do you think that you're going to make your mod somewhat different from all the other, fort copies?
Well,
like what makes yours so special?
I hesitate to say that this is classified, but Right now, the way SourceForge works is you kind of pick up a block and you freeze it in midair. And it just kind of hangs there. It looks kind of weird. You think, I wonder what's holding that block in place. And suffice to say that we might be, we're doing some experiments with different modes of construction and different modes of gameplay. I don't really want to go too far into this because I definitely don't have the permission from other staff members to be even beginning to talk about this. But let me just go so far as to say that things might get revolutionary
and
change somewhat. So we're definitely working there.
So you mentioned a little while back about the leagues on your website. Is that kind of your own version of Cal that you guys are bringing in-house?
Yeah, hopefully we plan to have a kind of a ladder system working for the upcoming 2.0 release or even sooner. There's some really great SourceForge clans which have kind of coagulated on our forums. There's some really great guys. They all know how to build really well, and they all work together really fantastically. And they're just aching to have some kind of a unified ladder system where they can all play together and challenge each other.
Is it going to be based on teams or just individuals or?
Right now, I think it's based on clans. So teams, yes.
Okay.
And they should be able to challenge each other and have different ladder matches and all kinds of stuff. It's still in construction right now, but I think it's going to be one of the highlights of our upcoming releases. I think that the league is going to be pretty
well. And the gameplay definitely lends itself to all sorts of strategies and planning and all sorts of stuff like that that the good clans are very, very good at and enjoy a lot.
Yeah. Some of these guys, we have actually a subsection on our forum. It's called the Fort Showcase. And I'm constantly amazed by the people who post screenshots of forts I would never even imagine. There are some large mazes that they build so that the enemy comes running in and doesn't know where to go, and they're caught in this maze. It's hilarious. One of my personal favorites was the spiral staircase into the sky, where somebody used, no joke, about 200 long panels and just built a huge, like spaghetti spiral up into the air, you know, so you couldn't see the top. And his grand plan was to run all the way to the top and then jump off and fall down. He was having a blast. So, and then of course the leagues clans who host practice scrims where they all get together and they all test out different ideas. And they say, oh, look here, I figured out a new way to build a wall, or I figured out a new way to build a bunker, and everyone kind of works together. And they're just aching to try it out in a real match. And I think that's it'd really be a crime on our part if we didn't provide them that opportunity. So it will be here. It will be coming.
Cool. The SourceForge has been getting a lot of publicity lately. I mean, you guys had the TV spot on the German gaming show.
Yes. This is all thanks to our one of our resident texture artists, KG, who has been talking to Valve and has been doing a lot of our PR. And it's all great thanks to him on part of our whole team. That he's been kind of making these kind of out of reaches. And our trailer, which was put together by one of our modelers, Steepers, and some other members of the beta testing team, which we're all very happy to work on this. What's really cool about Steam is that we can log on to the Steam statistics page, and we can see exactly how many player minutes or extrapolated player minutes per month that SourceForge is actually getting. So we have these kind of fun little showdowns with these other mods, which have no idea, of course, that we're watching these numbers. I'm sure they're watching them too. You know, we'll pop on IRC and say, "Hey, look, we beat 2.1 million player minutes this morning this afternoon." And it's really kind of fun and exciting to watch the numbers rise and fall as different kinds of media comes out or goes down.
Definitely one of the benefits of all this publicity, and also the trailer that was released on Steam Powered, and then actually you guys were on the homepage, I believe, of Steam Powered for a while until PopCap showed up.
Oh really? that's news
to
me. Wow, cool.
There's a list over on the right hand side of all the new stuff, all the new games that are available on Steam, and that's actually where I originally found you guys. Is I saw SourceForge and I was like, oh, this looks interesting, and I clicked on that. So yeah, you guys were on the homepage for a little while.
Oh wow, cool.
But But yeah, ever since PopCap came up, and you know, now we've got Bejeweled and you know, Zuma on the front page of Steam Powered.
Well, if it's anything to do with us, we'll be back on there at some point, hopefully. So
cool.
See how it works.
You know, a big benefit of all this publicity is that I've never had a problem at all finding a decent server to play in, which is really nice, especially for a mod.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when SourceForge first came out, the only servers that were there were from the developers who were testing their maps. They'd load up a map and they'd forget to password protect their home PC. All of a sudden, five or six players would appear in their new map that they were making, you know, which was like in beta. And you know, these random people from across the world would be testing their map with them. And of course, that was when you kind of never had more than about four or five people playing SourceForge at any one time. And now, of course, it boggles the mind. I really have no way to kind of comprehend the fact that at any point in time, there's about 150 people playing SourceForge, and that's 24/7.
Yeah.
And I mean, we hit, I think our highest projected Steam player minutes number was like 11.3 million.
Wow.
I mean, I have difficulty understanding that, but of course, we're very grateful to all the players and all the forumites and all the various community members. I mean, they're really what make the game, and we'd be nothing without them. So
it's really nice to know something that, you know, you've put a lot of time and effort into with nothing in expectation in return. You know, just you're just doing it for fun, and then all of a sudden you find out that a bunch of people really like it and think it's really cool. That's really got to be satisfying.
It's definitely a gratifying feeling, and I'm sure that the rest of the staff will join me in a hearty thanks and definite grand thank you to all of the players and the community members.
Well, that's about all I've got. We covered everything pretty well. We did pretty well for our first inaugural edition here.
It's been very nice being on here. Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming out and hanging out in here. Also, you too, Ramsey, for coming on the show and
no problem.
Having a chat. So I have yet to figure out what we're going to be doing next week, but hopefully I will figure that out in the next few days and get something up on the website. But awesome. That's pretty much all I've got for now. So,
well,
go ahead.
Go ahead and say if anybody else is interested in the SourceForge mod, they should head over to www.sourceforgemod.com. Go ahead and register on the forums. Say hello. We're very friendly. All of the developers post on the forums, as well as some really great guys. We'd love to have new players, so stop on by.
Most definitely. And I should probably put this in. Thanks to the Internet Archive for hosting and providing all of our bandwidth. I didn't actually realize this, but you can post your own created MP3 files on the Internet Archive, and they will host them and deliver them for free.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, which was pretty cool, because I had originally planned to block off a bunch of bandwidth on my personal server, which is also hosting the website. And believe me, as soon as I found out that I could get free bandwidth from the Internet Archive, I was all over that. So anyway, thanks to them for providing all the bandwidth for this podcast. Make sure you subscribe. The easiest way to get all the new episodes, it's over on the right-hand side of the website at www.steampodcast.com. And hopefully, if all goes well, we should be in the iTunes Music Store pretty soon here. As soon as the first episode is done, I'm going to get us on there, and we'll see where this goes. First episode, we'll see how the community receives it. So also, if you have any questions or comments or even any news stories you'd like us to talk about, go ahead and send them to magicbobbert@steampodcast.com. That's magicbobbert @steampodcast.com. And thank you very much, Ramsey, for being with us all the way from Australia.
Jeez, no problem.
And what is it there? Almost 1, I guess, now? 1
yep,
p.m.?
12:54 on the dot.
12:54. And thank you very much, Will, too, for coming out from SourceForge.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best of luck. And I certainly hope you guys have it, because I really enjoy playing your mod.
Thanks.
So that's it for this episode, and we will see you guys next week.
The Steam Podcast is not affiliated with SteamPowered.com or Valve Software. It is completely independent and published under the Creative Commons license. For more information, visit www.steampodcast.com.